All right, I'll buy it. What is Mobile Suit Gundam? Or is it Mobile Suit Gundam?
Robot anime.
Holly, that's so much better.
That is so much better.
Welcome to Mobile.
So much better.
We should, okay, we should explain it through that lens.
I want everybody to know on the space, by the way, that the topic Mobile Suit Gundam, Holly said, is that Mobile Suit Gundam? Thus making what I think is already an outstanding franchise even better.
It's a robot anime about a half-sunken battleship.
And a town full of uncles determined to find it.
It's the original Mardi Gras. With mechs.
What is a mech but a Mardi Gras float with missiles?
It's true. With legs instead of wheels.
That's right.
What is a mech but a really big truck?
That's a crew, isn't it? A mech's just a crew.
And it's just an F3 crew cab. It's a F-350.
Hey, this reminds me of another question I had.
Yeah.
Did everybody see the trailer for the Willow series that's going to be appearing on Disney Plus?
Okay. The Willow, yes, I have seen the trailer for the Willow series.
Has anybody else attempted to reimagine that entire series if we set it in Philly?
Willa.
Will, there's a baby down in the water.
That Willa fella, he's...
If you have any kind of Pennsylvania accent, please call the full cast voicemail line and say the words Warwick Davis. Mm-hmm. Just want to hear it. And Lucasfilm. Thank you. That's all.
We got 7:32 right now. As everybody knows, we do not usually start until we hit the 1,000
mark. And we're not going to break that tonight, are we?
They're all still at the Tennessee Vandy game.
Oh, trips 777. Let's see.
It's fucking partying.
Big Sky's here. I don't know why we're waiting on anybody else.
Shout out to our usual grown-ups, the Southland Conference, Samford, and the Big Sky.
They're and the chaperones. Joel. Hi, Joel.
And Joel. No growner ass man than Joel.
Those four are responsible. They're the chaperones if anything goes wrong.
Joel roots for an undefeated team, and you don't.
Joel can say whatever the shit he wants.
That's right.
Hey, I don't mean to alarm anybody, but Texas Tech is taking Oklahoma to overtime.
Honestly, good for Oklahoma.
Oh, that's so much meaner.
It's like, what is that, 2 6-6 teams?
Yeah.
Yes, but very different 6-6 teams.
Oh, not yet. One of them will soon be 6-6.
One is a 6 ascendant, and one is Oklahoma.
Yeah, Texas Tech had a harder schedule. Texas Tech played Houston and NC State out of conference.
God, who's... Listen.
Oklahoma played Nebraska and UTEP.
I have a lot of questions about anybody who scheduled... Like, any year. I'm trying to think of the last year when it might have been even an acceptable idea to schedule NC State out of conference. They've been at this for a while. Anyway, what did you guys do today?
Oh, you know, just hung out, enjoyed myself, watched a lot of good rivalry games.
Played some video games, bought some Def Leppard t-shirts.
Yeah, you know, watched the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Oh, God. Wait till we start the show before you...
We're over 1,000, so.
We're over 1,000.
We're going to get some emails.
I'm going to hit it.
We never get emails is the thing.
Never get emails.
Wait. We might. We just don't check.
Yeah, to be clear, we don't read the emails.
It forwards directly to me. We don't get emails.
All right. Good. You feel better.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome!
He's already there.
To the full cast After Dark. You're listening to the only college football Twitter space recap podcast conglomeration on the internet. So I hope you enjoy it.
She's so mad.
This is rivalry week. Try to say it yourself.
Everybody say it. Everybody say it once to themselves. Rivalry week.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry week.
If you say rivalry, it's much easier.
Rivalry.
Rivalry week. Rivalry week.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry. Yeah, it's really hard. It's very, very difficult to say rivalry week. So yeah, you know, just wondering, did anything happen today? It just seemed like a pretty chill day overall. You know, relaxing, watching some of the finest rivalry games in all of college football unfold before you. I wanted to start with Jason. Did you see anything cool today?
Michigan kicked the shit out of Ohio State.
That's right!
And not only did Michigan, once again, by the way, 2 years in a row, it's been 3 years since Ohio State, 4 years since Ohio State has beaten Michigan. Mm-hmm.
Keep going. 17 years.
Not only did it's been 600,000 years since Ohio State has done a goddamn thing on the football field against anyone. Mm-hmm. Not only did last year Michigan beat Ohio State in the most Michigan way by running the ball down their ugly throats all day long. This year, Michigan beat Ohio State in the most Ohio State way by gleefully sprinting untouched up and down the football field as if defense has not been unlocked yet. Spent 7 years establishing the run and then just decided we didn't need it anymore. We, as in my alma mater, the University of Michigan.
This is like that if is the correct. Cask of Amontillado was a Yeti cooler.
You went to the Kennesaw extension of the University of Michigan.
I live in Epcot, Orlando, but yes, there is one down here.
Yes. This was an okie doke from the start because, yeah, 7 years establishing the run. Seven long years establishing the run. And ooh, if all of that talk before the game about Ohio State being a finesse team didn't just get under their little scaly skins, all right, just didn't get under their nails and into their system. If it didn't irritate them, so they were like, we're best, big, strong, we're going to be memorable.
Spencer, do you think you contributed to this? Do you think you, as a person who called out Ohio State for being a team that's not as tough as Michigan, you made them feel they had to act tough and then fell for the entire plan all along?
I have three words.
You absolute rubes.
Rubes! Suckers for every scam that America puts on a hook and baits in front of you! You've been falling for it for over 100 years! The whole state, but especially Ohio State! Urban Meyer, Woody Hayes, the forward pass, you fell for it all! Every last one of them. And this time, you had to bow up and be like, we're going to be tough. Like J.J. McCarthy isn't a five-star recruit who can throw the ball 70 yards down the field to dudes named Cornelius and Colson.
To wide-open Corneliuses.
These are like Sherman Antitrust Act names.
I'm sure that would infuriate Ohio State.
Oh, wow. Doug, we better beep out what I just said.
Yeah, it was.
Threaten my dog again.
If Ohio State fans heard that, they'd just melt into a puddle of tears, so it's a good
thing. Hey, I'm right here. I'm right here, and I am being strong.
That's your job, though.
That is my job.
Every hook a worm. Every worm a fish. Every fish a Buckeye.
Spencer, do you want them to suck those hooks in?
I set these hooks in because in our Channel 6 newsletter on November 15th, I said y'all don't like the lumber. And you don't. And that's fine. Because Ohio State's a finesse team, and you should score like 45 to 52 points a game. And that's how you should win football games. You shouldn't want to, like, knuck up with Michigan. You shouldn't play that game. But you couldn't turn it down. You couldn't. Someone was benching 315 in the gym, and even though you haven't touched that, like, 300 mark for 4 years, you were like, no, bro, I got this. No, don't take any weights off. I'll do reps with that. So you went to Gold's and tore your pec. That's what happened. I have to speak a language they'll understand.
Yeah.
So I have to say it slower. I really should say it slower. But bro, no, you fell for every cheap trick in the book. You fell for a converted linebacker, I believe, throwing a trick play pass on third and short because we got to stop the run. Yeah.
Speaking of third and short, how tall is that linebacker?
Oh, he was not. I don't know.
Because, like, you know, when Tebow threw a jump pass, it looked kind of jaunty. This kid looked like he was throwing a jump pass because he needed to jump to see over the pads of the players in front of him, which just made it funnier.
He might have. Everybody on that team's huge. They're all huge. But point being, in the first half, you got completely okey-doked. So then what happened in the second half? You got gapped out. You give up an 85-yard run to a running back with one fucking hand.
Spencer, one. A user, Eric, points out that he did have 2 feet, the running back.
Valid point. I give the people credit when they deserve it.
He had 2 feet. But then you got gapped out by the run game and couldn't... Ryan Day, how do you have that much talent and you don't know what to do on 3rd and 3? Don't know what to do. Whole playbook's open and you can't grab one single decent page out of it. Not one. It's wild to me. Throw it to Marvin Harrison. If he's not open, throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr. again. If he's in the goddamn tunnel, throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr. again. It should be that easy. Run the touchdown play. You have better players. Dare them to play one-on-one with the guys who aren't as good. Get arrogant. The lack of arrogance is insane to me. Because that's all I hear from Ohio State fans, is how you should be more respected, how your program should do more. You have like 5,000 first-round picks. Ari Wasserman pointed out on Twitter that you guys have like 10 more five-star recruits than Michigan does. Where were any of them in the fourth quarter? Getting trampled by a guy with one hand. Who wasn't even the starting running back. At home, you have that big stupid flagpole. And you invite everyone to come in and look at your teeny little fascist auditorium that you call a stadium. In your sad sweatshirts. And your absolute bullshit traditions. And you embarrass yourselves. I get to say all of this because none of you believed me. None of you. You're not even fun to go back and forth with. You're just dull. You're duller to want respect.
Well, this is going well.
Go get thrown out of a 24-hour fitness again.
You can't. It's always open. How could they throw you out?
We'll see. That's the problem. You throw them out. They come back in.
They go to the one across town.
They go to Planet Fitness. They set off the lunk alarm. They get thrown out again. They sit in the car and they're like, I'm thinking about Debbie. I shouldn't have screwed that up.
Hey, listen. Debbie was very kind to move her car for us in Ann Arbor last year. We can't say anything bad about Debbie.
Is Debbie code for defense? Is that what that means?
Debbie, DB, ah.
Spencer, J.J. McCarthy threw 3 touchdowns today.
Mm-hmm.
There are two other opponents on Michigan's schedule this year against whom he's done that. Do you know who they are?
Oh, I don't know, but the answer is hilarious.
It's Hawaii and Indiana.
You're not as good as Hawaiiana as Indiawaii. You're not. Absolutely embarrassing. Do you know what's more embarrassing? They want to fire Ryan Day. Ryan Day has lost 1 game this year.
It is.
1. And it's the one that snaps their dim little brains in half.
So this is, I will argue, the one way in which Ohio State and Michigan fans are not different. When you lose the game, and when you do it in a way that feels like a tactical failure, you are immediately the dumbest and worst coach in the world. This is exactly how Michigan fans used to talk about Jim Harbaugh. Didn't matter how good of a year you had before that. If you came into the game and you got your pants pulled down, you were a dumb piece of shit who needed to be gone yesterday. You needed to be fired. Didn't matter what your record was.
It gets even better because that's how Ohio State fans talked about Jim Harbaugh.
Sure. This is not the only rivalry like this, but it is one of a very select few. It can drive people to the furthest edge of reality possible.
Absolutely unhinged. To listen to Michigan fans tell it, this person has a 13 IQ, cannot open doors properly.
Like winning games.
When Brady Hoke lost this game, they were like, someone go get Brady. And tell him very slowly the game is over and put a coat on him. That's what they did.
Do not give him a burrito that has not been pre-cut. He will die. He will die. He will try to swallow it like a python and die.
Michigan entered the year with 3 plays of 60 yards or more all year long. None of 70 or more, despite getting to play Hawaii, UConn, Colorado State, Indiana, Nebraska, Rutgers. Just a bludgeoning, brutal, murderer's row of opponents. Today they had Two, 70-yard runs alone. Plus, three passes of 40 yards or more, I recall. It might have been more. I lost count. But basically, Michigan had almost an entire season's worth of big plays against the number two team in college football as of this morning.
Y'all made Jim Harbaugh look smart. Don't do that.
It is stunning. Like, if there is one thing that is truly, like, what the fuck stunning, it's Ohio State scoring 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, three.
And those 3 points coming midway through the fourth quarter.
That's Noah Ruggles out there holding down the earth for y'all. Yes. Okay? If Noah Ruggles, if it had been up to Noah Ruggles, if you'd given me 11 Noah Ruggles, damn it, you would have lost worse because he's not as heavy and it would have been bad. But heart-wise, if you give me 11 Noah Ruggles, that would have been something. And this is the thing. I don't think it's on the players. I don't. They've got awesome players. It just, when it comes to Michigan, it doesn't fit. And I can't tell you to make like wholesale changes on the coaching staff because you're so much better than everyone else in your conference. But for the past 2 years, when it comes to this game, it's a skill issue. I don't even know what that skill is, beating Michigan. There, that's the skill.
It's part of it is this. When you make this game the game, such a central part of your identity, you don't get to do what CJ Stroud tried to do, and I understand it, and it's not even illogical, but you don't get to say one game doesn't define a team. You said it does. You said it defines an entire sport, an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, per the terms of the contract that you wrote, this defines Ohio State for the year. It just does.
You called it the game.
You did.
You hand out special little pants for this game. Little metal pants. That's what you get. And don't tell me it's not special, because I know you don't hand those out for fucking Rutgers.
Sit there in your little gold pants and
you should
cry.
You should get a cummerbund for Rutgers.
Your little gold hot press sandwich. That's what you get for playing Rutgers. It's delicious.
I thought you were going to say your little gold hot shorts.
Yeah. So don't tell me that. I know it hurts. I don't even have to make shit up to get y'all pissed about this. Because you just have to look at the stats. You let J.J. McCarthy drop bombs on you. He meditates. That probably makes you mad, too. That shit's bullshit.
Nerd. You, as Albert Breer pointed out, Ohio State lost to a bunch of nerds. hate that. They hate that more than anything in the world.
They also told you that. That's also the terms of this. It's very clear. Everyone understands it's nerds versus jocks.
Yeah. It's just, you
got pushed
celebrate.
Around by the nerds.
You know how mad it makes y'all that these dudes went out and celebrated at a hockey game afterwards? That's what they did. They rolled up on the ice at the Michigan hockey game and did belly slides. Ooh, belly slides, so now, playful!
Now I gotta look up something.
They're more Midwestern than you.
They're more Midwestern than you.
Damn.
Yeah, that's right.
God, the Blue Jackets suck. God, the Blue Jackets suck so bad.
Oh, now you're cutting deep.
Now, well, listen, I'm not even going to go there.
Worst, oh my God, already at the fucking basement of the Metropolitan. Behind the Flyers, who suck.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, God, you're behind Philly?
Yeah.
Oh.
In hockey?
15 points. Tied with the Senators, who are the definition of sucks. Sorry, didn't mean for the hockey discourse here.
And there's everything you blew by losing this game, which was, yes, an easy bid to the Big Ten championship game. Would have made you conference champions.
Just would have gotten opened up by Purdue.
Michigan spared you that.
That's right.
Your annual humiliation by a random Big Ten West team that has 0 5 stars ever.
And you saved you from the Aiden O'Connell career game where he throws for 700 yards in your secondary.
I have a question for Holly and Spencer.
Shoot.
Which of you was more ungovernable at the end of this game?
Absolutely, Spencer. It wasn't even close.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is this a good time?
He doesn't even watch the games. I watched one today.
This
it's
might
pretty
be
good. Yeah.
Go, Holly, what were you going to say?
Never mind.
No, I really want to know now.
I will tell you after the show. And oh, it'll good. It'll be funnier then.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Exclusive content.
No, Spencer, I mean, I'll tell Ryan.
Yeah. Go hope that I get cancer online. Guess what? It won't undo the fact that you got housed in your house. That's it.
Well, it's also, I'm pretty sure, I have to look this up. I'm pretty sure it's an Ohio State hospital that is currently crumbling because they...
It's an oncology center!
Because they put an oncology center on that was too thick.
No. It's fine. It's fine, Ryan. They said it's fine, so it must be fine. The shirt that says... My oncology center is sinking into the is not sinking into the hospital. Answers a lot of questions asked by my shirt that says my hospital is not falling into the oncology.
An Ohio center. State spokesman has said, "Listen, it's just one concrete column. All the other ones are fine."
With
I gotta
20
tell you,
floors above it.
I gotta
the,
tell you,
the 11
really,
others are doing great.
I don't really want to go to the hospital that has one cracked concrete column.
Did you see the 11 others, though?
If I got on a plane and one of the passenger windows was smashed to hell and taped up with a plastic bag, I wouldn't be like, well, the others are fine.
Yeah, but look at those other hey, those are the 11 warriors right there.
11 Damn. Great windows.
Damn.
They were that concrete was probably mixed in Michigan.
In case you haven't noticed, Ohio State is the team it's funniest to be mean to.
But there's a close second, I would argue.
There are many, many reasons for this.
Speaking. Okay.
Go ahead. You know where I'm going.
I just wanted to pause and tell the Ohio State fan who said I had a gaping vagina that his father seems to find it quite snug.
There you go.
I'll tell you what's gaping is that Ohio State defense.
Good that's boy. Right.
Oh, that's a big hole in your defense.
I don't like them.
And like my him. Dog's alive.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know who's not is Ohio State.
Mm. Is this a good time to point out that I actually disagreed with Spencer at last week that Michigan was going to wreck shop in this game? And that I only got sucked into this fight in the first place because I told one of the Ohio State fans at Spencer's mentions that he had extreme tweeting from family court energy.
This is why
I thought y'all were gonna win.
This is why
Sorry.
They make this is why they make you turn off your phone at family court.
Hey, I was wrong. They were right. Clearly I don't watch the
well,
games.
This I will say, it was a little funny. It didn't end up lasting. It was a little funny that for the first half it was like Spencer was wrong. They weren't just getting like pummeled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just until, didn't fucking until, matter. It just
until
didn't
it became
matter.
Until it became clear Spencer was part of the okie doke.
Yeah.
Spencer, don't ever make another prediction again as long as you live. You have to retire
nope.
on this record.
Nope. Not a goddamn one. Not gonna make a single prediction.
If I told you two other rivals played today, and one of them ran for 237 yards on 37 carries. And the other one ran for 54 yards on 31 carries. Who would you say won that game?
Well, not Clemson.
I would say that the one that ran for 237 would have won,
right? Well, Holly is right. Because Clemson's the one who ran for that total. And not Clemson is the one who won. Because South Carolina beat Clemson 31-30.
That is transitive SEC West champion South Carolina. Thank
Correct.
You.
8-4 South Carolina. Eight. Broke a 40 game, is it? Home winning streak for Clemson?
Something Ooh. Like that.
Eight and four.
And truly, truly a baffling 8-4 because the losses are to Georgia. They got destroyed by Georgia, 48-7. Fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Everyone does. Yeah.
They lost early to Arkansas on the road, 44-30. And that was like... Arkansas is super beat up this year. They weren't that beat up then. That's fine. The other losses are 23-10 to Missouri and 38-6 to Florida. Neither of whom looked great this weekend. Florida certainly didn't. We're not going to talk about that very much. destroyed Tennessee. Ended the year beating number 5 at the time, Tennessee, 63-38, and going on the road to beat Clemson, 31-30.
Two of the year's best wins.
Yes.
By the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yes.
Clemson, yes. The fuck up out of here. For that, we will be grateful for many months. We do not have to endure Clemson scoring 9 points in a playoff game, which is what they were going to do if they made it. Thank you, South Carolina. Thank you for that.
And did it in some extremely... To end the game on, we punt it back to you. Whoops. We made you fumble. Now we'll just kneel it out. Just some truly spiteful shit. I love it.
It's like they were holding their head while Clemson swung on them, little brother style, but also holding them, keeping them from collapsing to the ground by holding them up. By their chinny chin.
That's the Draymond Green fight video, is what you're describing there.
Anyway, fortunately, it's really easy for rich men to get into heaven, so I don't know what Dabo has to worry about.
It is, like, on the one hand, maybe this is just a quarterback issue, and maybe it's just a matter of, you know, with they Clemson was blessed with amazing quarterback talent for an unheard of stretch that has slipped, and you know they need to get that back if they're going to make the next step. But this is not in any way a dominant team. Even to say that about a team that won 10 games, won the Atlantic, could certainly, like, I haven't looked at the line, but like if they win the ACC championship, wouldn't be at all surprising. But then you look back and you're like, yep, beat Wake Forest by 6, beat NC State by 10, beat Florida State by 6, beat Syracuse by 6 in a game that really looked out of control for a while. The resume was never there. It was never there. And to say, like, we have seen Clemson do versions of this in other years, but it usually is coupled with, oh, Clemson figured it out and turned it on, and the last month of the season, they're just fucking mashing everybody. They never hit that switch this year. Not even close.
Not close.
Yeah, this was fraudulent Clemson, late Clemson. This
excited is, for them to be ranked preseason number 5.
After they beat someone in the Orange Bowl.
Sure.
Probably Bama.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Bama's in line for a Sugar Bowl because Brian Kelly's number 5 LSU Tigers journeyed to College Station to face one of the most overrated, beleaguered, hampered Texas A&M teams in history. And with playoff dreams dancing in their heads, Brian Kelly's Tigers lost by 15. To a Texas A&M team that had every reason to give up a week or two ago.
So I texted Holly this already. I didn't watch a snap of this game. I was only sort of vaguely aware that it was going askew. I want this to be my please tell me what the fuck happened here game for the three of you. Please walk me through this.
We should probably get Brian on here as well. He also seemed to be confused.
I'm gonna
if it
go
was
ahead.
Anybody else, I would say that he was pausing to contemplate the harm he had done to other people and the harm that he had thus done to himself, but probably not.
I will put it this way. Moose Muhammad. Moose Muhammad III.
Talk about the push off in the end zone.
Dude, he's so good. He made this improbable. It looked improbable from the camera angle where he caught a ball that was shot perfectly over the shoulder of the DB into one arm. And it was an impressive one arm catch, right?
Like, with very little vision. Into the crook of his arm like a baby.
With no vision. Like, he had like a little side eye through the helmet, and that was about it. But he caught it, and I was like, man, that was beautiful. And it was. However, he did the sneakiest thing, which was he had his left arm down and was pushing off at the hip. Kids, if you got to push off, don't do the big, super push off from the shoulder. No, you'll get flagged for that. Do it at the hip like professionals like Moose Muhammad did. Beautiful.
It reminded me of, man, let's go deep here. It reminded me of Mariah Bell at Nationals, by which I mean it was this tiny little flick that carried so much power if you saw it. And if you were looking anywhere else on the screen, you would have missed it completely. But it was such a beautiful piece of bodywork.
So that's what happened. They played a terrible game offensively for LSU, and Texas A&M threw the ball to Moose Muhammad. Football simple sometimes.
Yeah, and A&M on 18 throws accomplished more through the air, not in raw yardage, but in accomplishments, than LSU did on twice as many throws.
Yeah.
LSU had a few more yards, but so what?
As we all know, offensive yardage is a lie, right? Thank you, Kirk Ferentz.
We'll get to you, Kirk. We'll get to you.
There's a long queue tonight.
It's the best Saturday of the year. Every game matters. Every game hurts somebody's feelings.
I want to talk about the hurt in his feelings of all, except for Ohio State, who lost badly today. Ohio State.
Sorry, can we pause for one moment before we leave the ACC and thank user Spencer Linstead for describing this chat as 2,212 people laughing at Clemson.
Briefly, we were laughing at Ohio State, who lost.
Mainly Ohio State, because of how badly they got destroyed by the only team they care about beating.
Mm. Yeah. That's really,
everyone saw.
Everyone saw 252 yards on the ground at home in Columbus, Ohio, the heart of America. Yeah, they did that. The game that I actually wanted to talk about. I mean, I could talk about this one all day, but I'm actually going to talk
about the other game.
The other game that I wanted to talk about. So, Oregon.
Okay. Didn't know we were going here. All right.
Ryan, we're going to call this the Bo Nix Kudzu game, and you're going to see why.
Okay.
Okay. Because he had the full kudzu life cycle. Absolute menace. Mm-hmm. Productive despite being injured. Another 327-yard 2-TD performance. Very little on the ground, though, due to the fact that Bo Nix is injured and banged up. That's okay. Oregon State, you were saying about incongruous stats that said that one team should have won over another. Yes. I'm going to give you an over-under of 100 yards. Did Oregon State pass for more than 100 or less than 100?
Definitely less.
60! Cole Branson threw for 60 yards.
I'm going to say at least one pick in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm going to take you through this.
Okay.
When we are in the third quarter, halfway through the third quarter, mind you, okay?
Give me a score at this point.
31-10 Oregon.
Okay, seems well in hand.
Then 31-17 Oregon State after a four-play, 75-yard drive. That's all runs. All runs. All right, aided by a personal foul call in there. That's okay. 34-17 when Oregon gets a field goal.
Still doubled up. Not a problem.
Yep. But then a big kick return and another face mask penalty. The second in three possessions for Oregon State vis-a-vis Oregon's defenders makes this another run heavy. Not a single pass thrown. Run heavy 34-17 touchdown campaign. But yet you go, Oregon still probably got this. It's 34-24 at this point because no. Oregon fumbles. And there's a scoop and score and they get it. Did I mention, by the way, that Oregon has that Oregon, after a touchdown drive off that fumble where it is 34-31, Oregon will go for it from their own 29 on 4th-and-1. And then they get injured Bo Nix to run on that play. And he does not get it.
But they're still up.
Yeah, still up.
About that.
Until Oregon, again, 60 yards passing on the night, runs for another touchdown to take the lead, 38-34. Oregon drives all the way down to the Oregon State 3, where they're there for, 20 minutes. Where they don't let they take the ball completely out of Bo Nix's hands until it's 4th-and-goal. And then Bo Nix throws an incomplete pass. They run out the clock. Oregon loses 38-34 to Oregon State, who overcame a 31-10 deficit and got all the way back, I believe, without completing a single pass.
So
they completed six passes all day long.
The last pass that they attempted and completed was at 8:24 left in the third quarter, which was a 1-yard completion where the receiver fumbled the ball and Oregon recovered. Before that was, it was 28-10 at the time. That was that led to the Oregon field goal that put them up 31-10.
So they said that didn't work. We're done with it.
For the remaining 23 and a half minutes of the game, they did not throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And they won. So here's the lesson, kids. Fuck the pass. Fuck it.
Unless you're Michigan in the first half.
Unless you're Michigan, then you need to drop bombs.
Unless you're fortunate to be facing Ohio State's quote-unquote secondary.
Oh, boy.
That's right. That's right.
The
Jason, you say that. Vanderbilt abandoned the pass tonight, and that didn't go very well. So.
But they were just trying to sim to end, I would imagine.
Dude, I think they abandoned. I think the pass abandoned them, along with several other components of the game.
Oregon State fans have taken up wearing orange cowboy hats. No one seems to know why. I asked a couple of Oregon State fans if they know. They don't. They just it's happened. So when they stormed the field, it looked like Oklahoma State fans storming the field. Now, Oklahoma State fans don't have any reason to do that because they lose a lot. They're 7-5. But that was the appearance of it. So Oregon State is now the official best orange cowboy team. So congrats.
Congrats, y'all.
Yeah, because Oklahoma State, you lost to West Virginia.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, but you
That's
did.
That's not a good West Virginia team either. A bowl-eligible West Virginia team.
I was going to say, they did win today, so they're good today.
Tennessee is your other competitor for best orange team, I suspect.
But they don't wear cowboy hats.
That seems like a mistake.
They were running too fast. They would have flown off their heads.
Especially in Nashville. Like, come on,
they wear
y'all.
Trucker hats. Come on.
Oh, that is different.
Yeah, listen, as mean, loose, and festive as bachelorettes on the go, that was the Tennessee offense just running absolutely on a rampage tonight.
This is the thing we talked about before we started the show. Tennessee tonight scored 56 points and had over 500 offensive yards and did not convert a single third down because they didn't fucking need to.
Whatever. Fine.
Got it. Hey, listen, man, you get it on second. That's fine. Third down.
Second or fourth.
Third down's just a way station between second and fourth. Get it on second or get it on
third
fourth.
Down is for the timid and the
clapping
dry.
On the twos and fours.
Only even downs for the Tennessee Volunteers, who appear to be fine. They appear to have recovered from the South Carolina debacle beautifully.
Okay, sure.
Well,
The Joe Milton deep passing experience is a wonderful random number generator. That's all I'll say.
I love our trebuchet. I love our new trebuchet.
I have nothing bad to say about Joe Milton, but when the deep ball is coming, you're like, who knows? Who knows what the angle and acceleration was set to on this particular tank turn?
Yeah, who can say?
Shout out to the main ESPN account for joining our Twitter space tonight.
Hey guys,
what's up?
Guys,
joining our list of official grown-ups in the building. I want to point out Notre Dame lost. That's always cool. They got stunted on by their main rival hitting the Heisman on him, I think multiple times. Caleb Williams, who does appear that he will win that award. He will snatch away Stetson Bennett's lifetime achievement trophy due to being a superior football player. But whatever. USC probably mere minutes away from the playoff year one in Lincoln Riley's reign. The main thing, of course, is that Notre Dame lost.
I would. I was going to say Notre Dame losing to this USC team clears the way for. Do we have a weird logjam in the Pac-12 when it comes to that last spot? Okay, if USC is in, then who do they end up facing?
So. I've already forgotten how we.
I think as of recording, for anyone who's not listening live, Washington is up 21, Washington State 17, and this is important in some way. We figured it out before the show, and it's complicated.
We know Washington cannot make the Pac-12 championship.
It involves Colorado, if you want to know how deep it goes.
Washington can't make it, but I believe it's if Washington wins, USC goes.
USC is going.
If Washington wins, Oregon goes. Sorry. That seems wrong.
And if Washington loses, Utah goes? Was that what...
I think
someone
that's
will tweet
right.
us the correct answer.
Yeah,
soon.
If you know the answer, help us. Because this is... I will say this. I on the one hand, I'm like, this is confusing. But, like, the Big Ten West was no less confusing.
Yeah.
Frankly, they have a winner, and it's still confusing. Purdue's going to show up in Indianapolis, and I'll be like, what are they doing here?
Are you sure we're supposed to be here?
I know Iowa's not supposed to be here, because I know you can't lose to Nebraska and play in the Big Ten championship game.
That's true, because they're in the Big 12.
Can't give up well over 20 points to Nebraska and do anything. You're not allowed to go anywhere. You have to sit at home and think about what you've done at that point.
We're also going to get a Big 12 title game without Texas or Oklahoma. So the conference doesn't need them.
Yeah. Go ahead and discard those teams.
Going to be better off without them. Just like everyone said. That's right. Because TCU, by the way, didn't have to do any bullshit today. Didn't have to invoke their magical hat full of bullshit. They just beat the hell out of Iowa State.
They keep it in a hat.
They do. They keep it in a trucker hat. You know?
Yeah, for let's see, how many times this year did they just definitively trample someone? Other than Colorado and Tarleton State. Oklahoma, of course, because Oklahoma sucks.
Yeah.
Oklahoma and Iowa State. That's it. That's the class you're in, Oklahoma. But regardless, count it. Undefeated. Got K-State up next. That was a fairly comfortable by TCU standards win the first time around, 10 points. Let's see. We are being tweeted at about Pac-12 scenarios. Don Jenver says, you guys flipped it. UW win means Utah goes. WSU win means Oregon goes.
Sure. Normal. Normal sure. Sport.
Normal conference.
Washington can beat Oregon and eliminate them from the title game, I think, is okay. All right. Something like that.
Sure.
We'll find out soon. The TV will tell us who's going.
I also wanted to salute Georgia for, I think, doing what you should do in a rivalry game as a heavy favorite.
You don't have to talk about this game. Yeah, talk about this game.
No, that Georgia Tech, played pretty well. That's it. That's all.
Tech had a lead. The SEC doesn't want you to know it, but Tech had a lead for quite a while.
If I wanted to know about this game, I would watch Thinking Out Loud on Mondays on the SEC Network.
At halftime, it was merely 10-7 in favor of Georgia.
And you know what? That's a Georgia Tech win.
SEC doesn't want you to know about that. I love that. Thanks to today's results, the SEC championship doesn't matter. Georgia's going, and all that's left is which seed they get. Which, I mean, even if they lose to this apparently garbage LSU team, they can't fall all that far. Michigan's going, and they just whooped the crap out of Ohio State, so they can't fall all that far. The ACC doesn't matter because Clemson is too garbage for the playoff. So really,
as is UNC, who lost to NC State.
To be fair, UNC is also far too garbage for the playoff.
Guys, what a fitting way to send the Coastal off. Farewell forever, Coastal.
God, then I forgot about that. I'm so sad now. Years of 4-4.
What an amazing farewell than to have an ACC championship game where both teams enter having just suffered a loss. What a beautiful thing the ACC is doing.
Playing
for
an Orange Bowl bid against Bama or Tennessee.
How many years have we watched the ACC championship game and been like, well, maybe it'll be interesting and Clemson will get knocked out. And it's like, it just didn't man. Really wanted it, but nope, there's Clemson in the spot. And now the ACC has seen fit to, like, I don't even know if you could concoct a nightmare scenario where you could get the ACC champion into the playoff. I don't think you could do it.
No.
Challenge accepted.
No, you cannot. Like, if all four favorites lose next week, right? If Georgia, Michigan, TCU,
South
and USC
put South
all
Carolina
lose,
in then.
Fuck
it. Gamecocks in the playoff.
You got Ohio State right there, and you got Bama right there. Clemson cannot, unless they beat UNC by like 200 points. Okay, point taken.
Even then, we'll be like, App State put up that many points on them. Who cares?
you want to worry about filling seats? Shane Beamer's kids, all of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's all you need to do. Have a
win. Oh, man.
Butts in seats.
We need a South Carolina-Cincinnati bowl game. My God, it'll just be two family reunions.
You know what? We do. We've never needed it before, but my God, do we need
it now? But now we do. But now we need it. Hey, Did Auburn hire a football coach?
What time is it?
Not that I know of.
It's 11:01 Central, just after midnight Eastern.
Not that I know of.
Okay, there are two candidates. How'd they do?
Well,
I ask you to take a long journey back in history.
How did
to
they
Thursday.
Do at what?
At football. At winning football games this week.
Okay, that's different.
Okay.
Yes.
So Kiffin is no longer a candidate, right? Because he's gone ahead and shared the report that he's staying.
Yes.
I guess that doesn't. I wouldn't really put it past him sharing that and then taking it.
That takes it to 80-20 to me. There's still 20%
chance. If we're taking Kiffin at his word, which I realize the branch I'm going out on there when I say that, there is a scenario in which he's no longer a candidate, which means Hugh Freeze versus mystery coach. Versus Cadillac? Huh? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he, the Iron Bowl, it could have gone a lot worse. I think Auburn played better than the final score suggests, but it might not have been enough to push him across the finish line. Then again, if your other choice is Hugh Freeze, who, was a 24-point favorite against Liberty's arch rival, New Mexico State, look it up. They usually play twice a year. This is their only rival. 24-point favorite, but you lost by 35, Hugh Freeze. That's the opposite.
They don't call him Jerry Hug.
Jesus
Christ. Wow. Dude. It's not Jerry Kiss.
Tender fucking mercies.
Beat the. I like that people at Liberty were shouting, "Go to Auburn." Per beat reporters there were shouting, "Go to Auburn" at Hugh Freeze.
Because
the awesome
not,
part is he might not.
It's also not just this. Liberty ended the year on a 3-game losing streak.
Oh, but they lost to really good teams, right?
Well, UConn is bowl eligible.
Because of Liberty.
So I'll give them that.
UConn is bowl eligible, as previously discussed.
Because of Liberty.
So they're givers, is what I'm hearing.
In this sense only.
Virginia Tech won 3 games. One of them
that's
was
a power
Liberty.
Conference team.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I just.
And the other one's New Mexico State, which almost didn't have football anymore like 3 minutes ago.
And as for the other candidate, he's turned it down. So
Wait, but I know it's days ago. Can we talk a little bit about the Egg Bowl?
Can we just talk a little bit about it?
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Yes, please.
Because I still don't understand. Ole Miss goes on this huge touchdown drive. We're like, oh, this is it. We're going to overtime. But they got it. They know they have to get a 2-point conversion. This is not a mystery. The minute they get the ball back, they understand that that's the assignment. They have 3 timeouts when this drive starts. They successfully manage the clock and the ball well enough that they don't have to burn any of these timeouts on the way. And then they burn 2 timeouts after scoring a touchdown before the 2-point attempt.
That's right.
And I've never seen that. Am I forgetting? This is one of the most baffling coaching decisions I've ever seen. Burning 1, I can maybe understand. You fucked up the personnel. Or they showed you a look that was totally unexpected. And if they still had 2 timeouts, there was a chance that they could still get the ball back after an unsuccessful onside kick. Mm-hmm. Not have a lot of time, but have some. But they burned 2 and effectively made it an onside kick or nothing. What the fuck happened here?
Yeah, this smacked of a dare gone terribly wrong.
Have a question, and I have no answer.
Okay.
Were you listening?
Oh, yeah. Lane Kiffin burned those 2 timeouts. And at the time, I was like, could there be any logical reason why you burned those 2 timeouts? No. Like, what? Did you see something you didn't like the second time?
Because in my head, I have never played football. I have never coached football. But in my head, when you start this drive, you know what your 2-point call is going to be, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is our best 2-point play. We are calling it now if we score the touchdown. There is no mystery here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to run it, right? And when that happens,
by the way, the call they come back with is the shovel pass.
Which if it had been, if it hadn't been tipped, I think would have worked. It yeah. didn't need two timeouts worth of pontificating and debate.
Yeah. Also, with that play, I don't get, like, the basic thing about that play to yeah. me is that, yeah, the guy made a play. Okay?
Yes.
Made a great play to finish it off, knock the ball down and get it. But one of the things about that play is that you can run it on second down and it isn't a fumble, right? Because it's a forward pass.
Right.
Right. You run it on like second down, maybe third down as a sort of risk-free option that way. Because you can.
As a trick play that can't backfire too badly.
Right, right, yes. Right, right. You're right. Past that point in consideration to me for that play.
Yeah.
Right? Unless it, like, the counter will be, unless it works. Okay,
it
sure.
It did not.
What is that not true of? Yeah. It just doesn't seem like, I'd almost you rather just run with Quinshon Judkins, who got you there in the first place. Right?
Yeah.
Just a straight run.
Shout out Jay Arnold in the Twitter space, hammering the heart button after all Jay's been through this year, after all the frowny emojis he's had to drop off.
That's huh? right.
We love our rhythmic pal.
Everyone send Jay some hearts.
That's right. I don't know. Get some hearts in the chat for Jay Arnold.
So now I am forced to ask, what are Ole Miss's two best wins this year?
Ooh, daddy.
I'll give you the list. And you
about
can
to
tell
go to the bargain basement.
I'll give you the list. They opened with an 18-point win over Troy, and then they beat Central Arkansas by 56. They blanked Georgia Tech 42-0. That was pre-firing, therefore it doesn't count. They beat Tulsa by 8. They beat Kentucky by 3 in a game that Kentucky basically vomited back to them multiple times.
The Baby Bird Bowl.
Crushed Vanderbilt. Beat Auburn by 14. I don't believe Brian Harsin had been fired yet at that point. That game also doesn't count under all the known rules of the universe. Got stomped by LSU. Beat Texas A&M by 3. Lost to Bama by 6. Lost to Arkansas by 15. Lost the Egg Bowl.
What are you suggesting?
So,
by the numbers, the best team they've beaten is Kentucky. And they did it by 3 at home.
Yes. Yeah.
Their best performance is probably losing by 6 to Bama.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. those are my two answers.
This is not a good year for Ole Miss. It's not terrible. 8-4 is fine. But this is not a good year. This is not a year that, like, if Lane Kiffin's not taking the Auburn job and it was offered to him and he decided, no, I will stay. Doesn't this feel like this is just going to be a recommitment ceremony that you're like, why didn't you two get divorced? Why are you doing this?
When you're in the preseason number 21 and this is what you have to show for it, you didn't quite hit expectations.
Like I know that the West has been a land of confusing outcomes, and you're not the worst because you're not Texas A&M.
That's correct.
But this is not a great year.
That roster is a very weird roster.
Yeah.
It was stitched together in large part with a bunch of transfers. The flux in and out of that program is going to be unreal over the next 3 to 6 months, just because that's kind of how they're built. And that's, like, to me, that and they still don't have an obvious answer at quarterback, which is kind of the thing.
I mean, the obvious answer is that they fucking hated passing the ball this year. Every time it looked like, oh man, have you ever seen like a dad at a wedding who doesn't want to dance but is forced to? That's Ole Miss every time they got into a passing down this year. They're just like, all right, here we go, cha-cha slide time. Oh Jesus,
here comes the 15-yard dig. That's
like
my dance.
Ole Miss and Duke finished with the same record.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think things will turn around in the Texas Bowl on December 28th for Ole Miss. That's probably what they're aiming for this year.
Okay. All right.
Possibly Gator Bowl ambitions still on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That's not good. That's what you're saying. Nope. You're saying none of this is good.
No.
Nope.
No.
So it's Ole Miss. Okay, cool. Cool.
No.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sorry. I'm just sort of scrolling and looking at shit. Illinois shouldn't score 41 points on anybody.
They don't want to.
They don't want to. Illinois only ran 54 plays and scored 41 points.
Oh, that's because I provide value. That's what I do.
Oh, boy.
They call me great value, Bert. That's why.
This year, Northwestern and Colorado this year, they both won games somehow. Northwestern, of course, did not win one on this continent. But they are both in consideration for the worst one-win Power 5 teams. Let's go with ever. I don't think they're quite going to win the title there, but they are in heavy consideration. Colorado rolled into the day already in a consideration for that mark and then lost to Utah by 63-21.
Dig a little deeper there. I want to see if they actually ended up with more than one first down. Because as of a certain point in that game, they had one first down. I think pretty deep into the third. Oh, they got 12.
Yeah, they had an explosion.
Utah got
an explosion in the second half.
Utah got 32 first downs, which is significantly more than 12. Scores of interest right now. Washington is up 28-24 over Washington State in the Apple Cup. Stanford is fighting hard for David Shaw as they've kicked a field goal to take it to a 21-3 deficit against
a field goal
BYU.
Before the final buzzer this time. This is an early field goal.
There may be another. Hey, stay tuned. There may be another thriller. We may get another three at the buzzer.
I'm now realizing that Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Duke, and South Carolina all finished 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers don't matter. They don't mean
it's a
anything.
Normal record. It's a very
it's,
normal
it's
record.
A very normal record that only prestigious schools get. Michigan State didn't finish 8-4. That's for damn sure.
Lots of teams go 8-4. It's like Liberty. Despite Liberty playing goddamn no one, they finished 8-4.
Mm-hmm. They did. Remember, that was with a three-game losing streak to end the season. We really like – I want some – when you have a record, I want it to be like color-coded so I know how that ended, right?
Right.
I want to know what kind of a nosedive you were on at the end of the
season. Or if you like pulled way out of it.
Yeah. It should be like
a little arrow up or down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be like 8-4, and then it should be have a little -3 after it. So I know that you skidded to a halt on the runway on fire.
Let's talk about one more 8-4 team real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been a great year for the Pitt Panthers. Won a rivalry game to start the year, but overall, kind of disappointing. 8-4, as we've already established. Did actually come pretty close to going back to the ACC championship game, and if they could have beaten North Carolina instead of losing to them pretty badly, they would have gotten that spot. But they just beat the piss out of Miami today.
42-16. Not only that, shit was so dire that we witnessed a situation in which Pitt's official social media accounts were clowning another team for a hopeless field goal. Miami kicked a field goal to make it 28-3 in the second half, and Pitt was making fun of it.
My favorite clown of this particular bit of clownery was Alex Kirshner, who called Mario Cristobal's game management unserious. which I think is equivalent to like anyone else on the planet motherfucking you is when Alex Kirshner's like, yeah, that's unserious.
So Miami's going to finish the first year under Mario 5-7.
Miami preseason number 16. We've had several drastic plummets this year.
Almost all these, like the A&M loss and the UNC loss, but most of these other ones, like, yeah, got stomped by MTSU, got stomped by Duke, got absolutely obliterated by Florida State, blown out by Clemson, blown out by Pitt. These are not close. These are not close losses. There's some work to do here.
That's what we call a full teardown, Ryan. Don't know if you've done this kind of project before, but it's demo day. It's going to look ugly, but once we get the shiplap in here, it's going to look beautiful.
Oh yeah, there's Manny all in the walls here. We're gonna have to rip all this out.
Yeah.
Hey pal, that's a 7-5 Mitsu they lost to. Okay.
Yeah. I also need to point this out. Shouts out to Penn State social media team. I know Pitt was doing good work on this front, but shouts out to Penn State social media team for posting one of the best things I've seen in a while. I'm going to see if I can find it. It was a video of the land grant trophy. If you've not seen the land grant trophy, it is the ugliest piece of shit I have ever seen in my life. It is an office pillar from a poorly decorated 1980s office that is festooned with bric-a-brac and plaques just tacked to the side of it. There should be a phone. It's the sort of thing that you look at and go, this should have a phone, right? And they did a video which is just the land grant trophy in a video and a guy going da 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 da, the land grant trophy, like just like that, with absolutely no pitch. I will share it in the chat. It is exactly what the land grant trophy deserves.
I do think they should take the land grant trophy to Antiques Roadshow, just without any explanation. Just be like, I found this in my grandfather's attic. What's it worth? Just be like, what the fuck? I'm sorry, what is this?
I stole this from some football players in green jerseys. They didn't seem worthy of it.
They didn't want it. They weren't interested.
Apparently, they didn't put up much of a fight for it. So
yes, but shouts out to Mel Tucker for taking the shine off Jimbo. And by shine, I mean the negative sort, as in a spotlight, by being the highest paid coach who suffered the worst loss today.
Today, by far. Ultimately, they're both 5-7. Not going bowling.
It's a lot of money to not go bowling.
Despite making $80+ million guaranteed.
I mean, again, this is merely a note, one with a faint note of praise behind it, because good job, you. Good job.
Good job today.
What does EMU's coaches make, do you think? What's Chris Creighton make?
Chris Creighton's salary. The sound of typing. Ah, he makes $515,000 a year.
I would pay that instead of Mel Tucker and Jimbo money. EMU 8-4.
Yeah, man. Good job, EMU. Another program that that had a fairly good day on a budget today. I don't know. Do you see the Georgia Southern Appalachian State game? Went to OT. It's very exciting. That would be Clay Helton finishing off a triumphant year.
And look what he left behind, a playoff team too.
Yeah, left. I've never seen Lincoln Riley reach the playoff without Clay Helton's players. At USC. He did it at Oklahoma, but that didn't count because
that is correct. Bowl eligible Georgia Southern. Print him a T-shirt. They are at 6-6 with a 51-48 win in beautiful States Boogie.
Holly, you said in our chat the Apple Cup's getting weird.
Yeah. Can it's getting weird.
Okay.
I mean, it's 28-24.
Okay.
It's currently 12:19 p.m. on the East Coast on Sunday, November 27th. If you're powering down for the night, maybe slide back onto the couch.
We are almost at halftime. And Washington has 326 yards of offense and a 6-7 on third down.
Yeah, that's part of what I meant.
Washington State has 304 yards of offense and has not been as good on third down, but they're 4-4 on fourth down.
That is the other thing that I meant.
And it appears Wazoo might score before the half here. This season has been very light on late night games that have actual consequences. And it looks like we have one here, so that's nice.
Maybe because
any of the good teams out there, USC typically beats them pretty easily.
This is why you have to take care of your business. This is why you can't live a life of sin, because otherwise you look up one day and your Pac-12 championship fate turns on the goddamn Apple Cup.
I know it had...
Why have you lived that life?
I know it had absolutely no stakes, unlike other matchups in the Pac-12, but shouts out to Arizona State, Arizona, which was absolutely wild. Exactly what I want out of this game every single time. Arizona daring to actually play defense. Jaden Delora with the most Jaden Delora line of all time. He won with throwing 12 for 23 for 200 yards, no TDs, and an interception.
Yes.
Arizona, not exactly Nebraska 95 when it comes to rushing the ball, went for 280. Michael Wiley went wild against the Sun Devils. So just shouts out, Arizona. I know you're 5-7. You're not going to a bowl game. Y'all were fun. That was extremely fun.
I think you beat Arizona State. You don't really give a shit about a bowl game. Like, you're good with that.
Nah, you're fine. Also, shouts out to Jaden Delora for being the most dangerous quarterback alive the entire season. I didn't say best. I said most dangerous.
People have asked, is this a blood week? I'm just going to give up on the rule about if you have to ask. It's not, whatever. You're just going to ask anyway. It doesn't matter what I say. I would say no, but based on the results that actually happened, pretty close. Oregon State was favored by a point. Michigan was number three, and it beats Ohio State every year anyway. That's hardly a surprise. Kicks the shit out of Ohio State every year. So Michigan doing that once again to Ohio State, it's expected at this point. Clemson going down, obviously that's exciting and contributes to blood week considerations. But
LSU, that's the other one.
LSU, that's also up there. But you need a little bit more than that. There's nice stuff in the teens and 20s as far as the rankings go. But yeah, a very entertaining weekend, especially because Ohio State lost really badly.
Did they? I heard that.
It was really bad. Did you see it?
I think I'm going to rewatch it.
He doesn't watch the games. You know this.
All right. I keep forgetting that.
I don't watch them. I'm just getting these takes off of the hip.
Just all fives, bro.
Just blind guesses.
That's it. I just get here and fling takes.
Just
that's
like it. when the seal at the zoo, when they let it pick the games.
Just a big old hairy sea lion honking horns.
That was Spencer's method for determining Michigan would win.
Which pork chop will Spencer eat? That determines who will win.
That's what I'm out here doing, bro.
Volunteers.
So we should note, none of our playoff picks are going to work out this year.
Hey!
We got close. I'm sorry.
Oh, From our off-season game.
None. Ryan, let's review again who everybody had so that we can decide who won.
I gotta pull it up. Hold on.
To be clear, folks, these were randomized. We can't help.
No, they weren't.
We can't be held accountable for these.
All right, so let's review. Let's review performance here. Okay. Spencer, you had Cal.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Shit. Close. Close.
Shit. How could you defend Cal?
Let's do this. Let's see how many bowl eligible teams. Let's
folks,
expand.
If you remember how we picked these teams, and you have friends listening who are mad and don't remember,
don't tell
how
them.
We picked these teams. Don't tell them.
Don't tell them. Spencer, you had Cal. Cal finished 4-8. You also had East Carolina, who went 7-5. So you've got one bowl eligible team there. You had Notre Dame. They went 8-4, two bowl eligible teams. And Oklahoma State, who, despite a lackluster loss today, also 7-5. So you don't have any double digit win teams.
Okay.
But you have three bowl teams. Holly. Holly's crushing it. Your surprisingly disappointing team I would not have picked of this group is Utah State. But Utah State went 6-6, so still bowl eligible, although I don't know, based on how the assignments go, if that will actually mean a bowl or not. I haven't looked.
Fair enough.
You also have Kansas State, who, as we've previously discussed, is in a conference championship game.
Yep.
You have Tennessee, who...
What happened there?
Double-digit wins.
Hey.
I mean, 10-2 is nothing to sneeze at. Certainly not what I think you would have predicted at the start of the year.
No.
And
no,
you
that is one way of putting it.
And you had Vanderbilt, who...
Yes.
Even by our standards, a very good Vanderbilt year. I don't know what happened in the Florida game because I was literally in a cave during all of it.
I have relocated Florida to the SEC West and christened them University of Bowl Miss.
Thank you.
You are welcome. I appreciate
that. Jason, you had Nebraska. They're not going to make a bowl game. You had Hawaii.
How do you know?
They're not going to make a bowl game.
It's not what I
They
heard.
Provided Michigan crucial quarterback carousel practice. Which
now
paid
you do
off
handsomely you do have something that you do have something Spencer doesn't have. You have a double digit win team in UTSA, finishing the year.
Oh God. Okay. All right.
10-2.
I forgot about that.
Conference USA. Easily the
which
best
pulled
team.
Off a huge comeback against UTEP today.
Yes, easily the best team in CUSA, 8-0 in conference. Meep, meep, indeed. And then you have UCF, which, fine year? I think
yeah,
fine year.
Yeah, which is kind of stumbling into New Orleans to play Tulane in the
like,
AAC
like,
title game.
Like,
with
it, I was just going to say, yeah, look way too close against USF today.
Yeah, you don't ever want to look close against this USF team. But.
Yeah.
No, that would be only a really shitty team would do that.
you're not wrong. Nothing you're saying is wrong. I had Wyoming. They're barely bowl eligible. I also had Vanderbilt. They're not. I had Nebraska. They're not. And my fourth team was 8-4 Liberty. So
8-4. Wow. They lost
praise
four
be.
Games.
That's praise
so
be.
I think I'm probably at the bottom. And I think it probably goes Holly, Jason, Spencer, me.
Just like
I could, I could be talked into Holly, Spencer, Jason, me.
Nah.
But it definitely Holly's definitely at the top. I'm definitely worst.
Congratulations, Holly.
Thank you.
You are the smartest.
Definitely doing this again next year.
You are the smartest and most accomplished of all of us.
The smartest and most accomplished dice roller. Thank
it
you.
It is.
I
extremely
am
extremely faint praise.
Please refer to me as Riverboat.
I will.
That's old Riverboat Anderson over there.
Not just because I'm full of hot air.
Is that how those work?
I don't
steam,
fucking know.
You know.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got paddle boat. They got steam engines on paddle boats, right?
Unclear.
Yes.
Citation needed.
Can I say one other thing about the Vanderbilt game that I attended?
Oh, please
yes,
do.
Please.
Two things. First of all, yes, Spencer is right. I belong to that particular subset of dumb Southerner that thinks a hooded sweatshirt is rain gear. It is fucking not. It was very cold. Second of all, so it was senior night, which meant, unfortunately, that while most Vandy fans left super early in this game, like early third quarter early, the families of the seniors did not. They had to sit through rain and wind and cold and a scoreless Vanderbilt output. But they stopped to do, at halftime, they acknowledged the seniors on the band and like the dance team and the cheerleading squad and like a handful of other things like that. And this is how I know that Vanderbilt is different from at least Florida. So they're going through, they're announcing each one. They're acknowledging each one of the seniors on these auxiliary non-football squads. And they're saying they're major. And at Vanderbilt, these are all like some major-ass majors. It's like chemical engineering and neuroscience and this, that, and the other. And my political science ass over here is like, oh, nobody does those majors. Like, come on. Spencer, how many people in the Florida band are like, oh, I'm also doing biochemistry?
Not many.
Okay.
We weren't very smart, though.
People go to Vanderbilt to do school.
Gross.
And that's fine. but it's not very SEC. I gotta be honest. But
no,
props to
is.
Those people. They all seemed like super smart, and they're probably gonna get really useful and accomplished jobs. And, well, I'll be here. On Twitter Spaces, praying it works.
They're all going to be finance bros. What are you talking about?
Can you be a neuroscience finance bro? Oh, I guess that's probably the only finance bro left.
Can I hand out a, since we're in the SEC East, I'd like to hand out a game ball to South Carolina's punter. Who planted three inside the Clemson 3 on the day. Kai Kroger is the fellow's name, including, I think, if I have the numbers right, 5 inside the 20 and 3 different punts inside the 3-yard line. The dude averaged 54 yards per punt on the day.
Good God.
It, like, very well might have made the difference that kept Clemson out of the playoff. So, salute to you, young man, and your satellite precision punting leg.
Yeah. Also, shouts out to Spencer Rattler for yes, progressing slightly. I'm not right about everything. I was like, yeah, he's gonna regress to the mean. Doesn't matter. Punter got his back.
Let 360 yards for day today for the Rattler.
Yeah, so, it was fine.
Oklahoma did indeed lose to Texas Tech. Lost 6 games for the first time since 1998.
Mm-hmm. Is that bad?
Still going to make a bowl game, though, which they have done every year since 1999.
Yeah. They're not feeling good about that, right?
Well, they were the preseason number 9, so.
I mean, you have to look back at it now and realize, like, what is, it's Bedlam. Honestly, yeah. It's just as it always would be. Bedlam is the thing that pushed them over the top. Even in this, a topsy-turvy, confusing, wildly unexpected and entertaining year in the Big 12, Oklahoma always wins Bedlam, and that is the thing that put them over the top here.
It's kind of comforting,
isn't it?
Some things never change. It's nice. I would to go back, by the way,
to Michigan, Ohio State.
You know, interesting thing about that game is Michigan scored 45 points, which is nearly twice as many as Ohio State scored.
Seems like a lot. Seems like more than one.
Isn't this, oh my God. Both in the final score and in the progression of the score, isn't this exactly like how this game used to be flipped? Aren't you used to it being Ohio State 45, Michigan 23, and Michigan having to be like, fuck, it was so close at halftime?
Yep.
Who has to do that now?
Whoever you're going to say, Holly?
I just texted it to you.
But yeah, the thing I actually wanted to say was congratulations to Mizzou for becoming the most balanced team in all of college football by scoring exactly 2 more points than they allowed the entire year, thus being the most 6-6 team of all, the most balanced of balanced. Congratulations, Mizzou. Definitely what you want to do when you're going, should we extend Eli Drinkwitz? It's like, just a little.
That's fine.
Just a little. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Y'all are fine going 6-6. Right?
It's better than not.
So I think next week, I hate to say it, but I think my main rooting interest is Purdue, despite being a University of Michigan alumni.
Well, you believe in the moon first and foremost.
The moon comes first.
Do we?
Because if Purdue pulls off its usual beat a far superior top 5 team bullshit, that could possibly drop Michigan down to number 4, which would set up the semifinals of Georgia, Michigan to see who is the best grrr team, and possibly USC, TCU in the 2-3 game to see who is the best zippy wacky ball. Yahoo!
Haven't you lost 2 games, team?
Yeah, and that's what we want, right? We want a title game pairing the best team from each iteration of what we want football to be. The best old guy team and the best the kids are out of control team.
A warning to TCU: you will be facing Kansas State, the Big 12 title game. Kansas State, a program and a team. Historically, really only specializes in one thing: ruining your good thing. That's it.
Are we at the point, and I'm not saying this is right, but are we at the point where if TCU loses that game, the Big 12 championship game, that they're out?
Remember that the stated preference of the committee, all right, when they want to look super important and act like they have rules, is to say this: we value conference champions, and if you don't win your conference,
but
so Georgia and Michigan are
are in.
Georgia and Michigan are in. I think the question is TCU also in that tier?
Yes, that is exactly the question.
I think if TCU loses close against a verifiably really good K-State, possibly. But there's also a scenario where if say they were to lose by 10 and ooh, that looked bad, they could get jumped by Ohio State. And that'd be the second time that's happened.
Because if you just go based off strength of schedule, TCU has Georgia and Michigan beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like there is, this is very boring, but there is some brand name bullshit going on here. Where if it were Oklahoma in the exact same spot or Texas in the exact same spot, TCU wouldn't, it wouldn't be a doubt. There would be no doubt that TCU was in, even if they didn't win this conference title, right?
Correct. I'm not entirely sure about that because, like, again, TCU has won a number of games by the scales of their skin.
Sure.
It works for frogs, lizards.
But Kansas State will also, I mean, I think this is true. I don't know if it's 100% true, but like Kansas State is maybe the best of the three opponents that we're talking about between Kansas State, LSU, and Purdue.
They'll be
LSU is kind of a tricky one.
There, LSU will probably be the highest ranked still.
Yeah, but it won't be, the delta will be pretty short.
Yeah, they're both three loss teams who will be ranked around number 10. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it is really interesting because of all the things the committee says they evaluate, right, which ultimately it works out to. They rank them how they want to rank them, and then mm-hmm. they cite the things they want to cite.
Yep.
TCU is a very interesting test case because, like, do you like strength of schedule? Well, TCU should be in. Do you like, you know, teams that have won at least 12 games and then played a conference title game? You said you wanted one of those, so the Big 12 added one, so you're going to punish them if they lose it, right?
Yes, that's the we will.
As always, we advise the Big 12 not to add a conference title game. So let's see that backfire.
You
on
know,
them.
You, and you know what the playoff committee's going to do this week? They're going to put Bama 5.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to do it.
I would anticipate Ohio State at 5, but Bama could be 6. Certainly could.
They will definitely put Bama high enough that the media and everyone else will have to spend an entire week going to be like, God damn it, how are they going to sneak Alabama into this shit?
Yeah.
How are they going to do it, those pieces of shit?
They did it!
I guess USC will also be right up there, but close enough to where it's like, we figure they're in anyway.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be
great. Every single year, every single playoff debate ultimately comes down to who's the breaking case of emergency number 4 team nobody actually thinks deserves it,
it's Bama.
We have to pick someone
totally
because
Bama.
We said we wanted a 4, and it's totally either Bama or Ohio State.
I will laugh so hard if they do this with Bama.
Bama, who the best team they've beaten as well.
I'm not even sure Bama wants to go.
No, it's Bama.
Like, have you seen them play?
It's Bama because this is if you left Bama out, Bama fans this year I don't think would have a problem with that. I think they have enough rational capacity to say like, this has been like a kind of flawed up and down team that hasn't been dominant, and 2 losses didn't win your division. Like, I think they'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Ohio State fans are the ones who will fucking lose their mind, which is why Ohio State's going to be the one that gets left out and Alabama's the one that gets put in.
And it's amazing because you just lost by 22, but we all know what you're going to do.
Playoff conspiracy.
In the final rankings.
Woke Disney
back,
conspiracy.
Remember, this is, I blogged this somewhere, but every single year of, since the playoff has been invented, Ohio State has been the most controversial team, whether they're in or they're out.
Why do you think Disney brought back Bob Iger?
Oh, shit.
To ensure that Ohio State would get fucked once more.
Either get fucked or fuck someone else. That's it. That's all Ohio State is good for. They never earn their way in on clear merits.
Nope.
Just
causing problems.
They're either 4th or 5th, and everyone is furious.
Just a participation trophy program.
Just making mess. Just making a goddamn mess.
None of this would have been a problem if they'd beaten Michigan. Of course, they came nowhere near beating Michigan. In fact, they were quite far.
Did you see that? I saw that.
We all saw that, yeah.
Once again, for the second year in a row, it was numerous touchdowns, which they fell short. Strangely enough, this year was at home in Columbus, Ohio. You think they would have gotten closer, especially since they got such a good look at Michigan's MO and built their entire program around it. But unfortunately, but at least Michigan's good at multiple things.
I bet it was a shootout where they were really, really tight and they really fought to the end.
Yeah, Michigan shot it out.
Here is a tweet I don't understand from Matt Leinart. USC 11-1 going to the Pac-12 title game with a playoff spot online. Oklahoma going into OT fighting for their sixth win, which they didn't get. Hashtag karma.
No, I don't get that.
Literally the next person, the next person online who does the hashtag karma thing with an actual definition of karma will be the first person to do that.
Is but that
Matt has not taken the lessons of the parable of Brett Bielema's wife.
Is that that's about, right. like, OU fans complaining about Lincoln Riley leaving?
I don't know. For what sin is Oklahoma being punished for here? I don't.
How long you got? I got a list.
For giving USC players?
I refuse to think about this any further until we hear from Matt Leinart what he thinks karma means.
Yeah. Also, the sins of Oklahoma, that includes the Hobby Lobby thefts. So maybe Matt Leinart is stepping up for the those stolen antiquities and the nations exploited by those. Yeah.
That's got to be it. Yeah,
technically, everything's right. karma. So, I mean, you could just hashtag all your score tweets with that. And
just Matt Leinart on the
side. Is this just sort of a West Coasty way of saying God has a plan?
It's like cause and effect, ultimately, okay. is the sure. thing. So, like, sure. yeah, USC scored more points, and therefore they win. That was the cause and the effect. Oklahoma yeah.
did not.
Karma. Huh. That's how it works.
Just that Matt Leinart on the set going, this belongs in a museum.
Matt Leinart belongs in a wax museum.
You think Urban Meyer's going to get the Ohio State job?
100%.
As soon as they finally can, Ryan Day, the modern John Cooper.
John Cooper went 2-10-1. 2-10-1.
Oh, I'm sorry. He beat Michigan multiple times. Right. I take it back.
Boy.
I take it back. Sorry, John.
Also, he got the one.
Yeah.
That is a different era. Can you imagine the boiling, lumpy rage of the Ohio State fan sitting on their couch in 1990-whatever.
Watching 16-bit football.
On a TV that weighed 900 pounds.
On a
right?
Game Boy.
Watching an Iowa State football player coach their team.
To a miserable loss against another miserable loss against Michigan. Yeah, to be like, I'm going to stop voting for Democrats.
What the fuck?
And look where we're at. Look at Ohio now.
I think that is how it worked. I'm so mad about
so
at everyone.
Mad. Blame I'm
voting for whoever's mad, like me.
That's what I'm going to do. Look at gonna take care of it.
He's appropriately mad.
I vote for J.D. Vance.
That's how mad I am.
That's how mad I am. Damn it.
My God, who are they going to vote for next time after they lose to Michigan again next
John
year?
John Cooper works for the Bengals?
Governor Knight.
What?
That can't be right. That's what his Wikipedia page says.
What's he doing for him?
It says he's a scouting consultant?
Huh.
Oh, that's made up.
This can't be right. The article, this has to be out of, because he joined the Bengals in 2002. And if you're telling me John Cooper has been working for the Bengals for 20 fucking years, come on.
Yeah.
This is where I also remember that Nashville's mayor is named John Cooper.
So is the lead singer.
Does he even try to get a melon camp in there?
So is the lead singer of Christo Fascist rock band Skillet.
Man.
John Cooper's a really hit or miss, except for when they come to Michigan, then they're just miss.
2-10-1's not great.
Can you imagine the anger, though? Like 10! That's 1-0!
Yeah.
10! They had to be so mad at his ass. And you know what? They still didn't throw a brick through his window. Because that's some Bama shit.
Because they didn't care enough.
That's right. They didn't want it. That's why you keep losing.
I think the looking at the New Year's Six slate, I think the weirdest thing on the table right now is Tulane Penn State Cotton Bowl. I think Penn State might have the best angle for the final sort of at large spot. Talk about two teams with deep animosity, Tulane and Penn State. We're just really that's your 9 a.m. New Year's Six game right there.
Tulane and Penn State. That is the most 1941 game I have ever heard in my life. The boys from Tulane, rich off all that sugar money, heading to play the farm boys from Penn State.
Just make up conference names.
It is.
That'd be SEC and independent at that point.
Yeah,
Penn State, winners of the West Sky Conference. What?
out of the Genesee Coma Conference. They're to face Tulane, the Sugar Barons from New Orleans. Yeah. It's a good it was a great weekend. Every single thing about this was absolutely awesome.
Florida State beat Florida. They're there.
They did. They beat our ass.
I don't care.
Straight up.
It was a great game.
It's a great game.
That was a highly entertaining game. No shame. Hold your heads high. I know you won't.
It's fine.
I know you won't. You never do.
It's fine.
No, I'm sad about your team no matter what they do.
I just don't care. I just don't care.
We can tell.
I will
you're going to a bowl. You're going to Gasparilla or whatever.
Gasparilla.
Have we talked about ARG? Let's save.
Oh,
ARG.
Please.
Let's save ARG for the 40 for 40. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We'll get there.
Is this Gasparilla lore?
It sure is.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Lore is giving it a little credit.
Gasparilla lore.
Yeah. Yep.
So I believe we have covered all that we want to cover right now.
Let's real quick check in on FCS, where of course are the two finest conferences in all of Division One.
Yes.
Have done battle throughout the day. Your big winners are well, Elon fucked up. That's not new. Furman dispatched the owner of Twitter. Delaware, New Hampshire, Richmond, Weber State, of course. Gardner Webb, Southeast Louisiana, advancing on the day. Montana is currently in a tussle with SEMO. We'll see how well the Big Sky fares there. But that's your update. Pretty good day for the good guys overall.
Go Spiders.
Go Spiders. If you are still in the chat, I want to go ahead and thank the people who turned out tonight for Rivalry Week Fullcast After Dark.
Smoking Musket, I'm sorry you're not going to fire your coach now.
Yeah. I see M. Goblock here. What's up, y'all?
Shaking the Southland, you probably will.
SEC Statcat, Stalwart, thank you for attending. Jim Prosser. Jim, you've been up for like ever, dude.
Yeah,
you were
Jim,
up at
you
like
were on the Channel 6 space this morning. Are you okay?
You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, legally you don't have to answer that, man. It's fine.
I predict Fullcast After Dark will go live after Kansas State TCU, a game that kicks at 11.
A game Central. That is being played.
Yeah. It's dark somewhere.
It's true.
Oh, it's dark in here.
It's dark in your heart.
It's dark in Ohio State, where they lost to Michigan really fucking badly.
Did that happen?
It totally happened, and you're going to have to deal with it for a year.
Well, that's nothing. They've already dealt with it for a year.
Yeah, God, that was the worst loss I've seen Ohio State take to Michigan since the last one that I was personally there and stormed the field for. Huh.
It's weird. If we show up again, they win again, right?
Didn't need to this time. They just beat Ohio State with or without
us. Oh, you guys are the feather in Dumbo.
No, to
yeah,
be
they
clear,
didn't, they didn't need us at all.
To be clear, we were invited and decided not to go because gross.
Because the Blue Jackets suck, as we've discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get a real hockey team, Columbus.
We don't want to get that close to a terrible hockey team.
Listen, if there's two things Atlanta and Nashville know, it's real NHL hockey. And you don't got it, Columbus.
But you come to a real hockey town.
You know, based on not most of the Ohio State fans I know, but most of the ones I've met the past couple of weeks, they're not actually Blue Jackets fans. They're like, no, I root for the Canadiens, the Lakers, and the Red Sox.
Wow. Giving a lot of credit to the Habs there. Love it, though.
They can use the support. I don't know.
No, No, you named a Canadian team, so they're not winning a championship.
That's correct.
USA! USA!
Oh boy.
The players are all Canadian and Finnish and Russian. USA! USA!
They are now. Damn it. You get American citizenship if you score a goal in the NHL. It's just how it works.
Giannis loves Funyuns. He's one of us.
Listen, the Giannis smoothie tweet is proof that he's American, okay? Yo, just had my first smoothie. This is America. Oh, awesome. I love the USA. That's right, Giannis. It's fucking right.
I'm gonna really enjoy when we pick a random NBA playoff series to do After Dark for. It's gonna be great.
Late breaking news. Greg Beecham on Twitter has just posted Caleb Williams' nails were painted tonight with the letters FUCKNDXX. Heisman.
Yes.
I can't That's comment on this award, but I'm voting for him. After that, yeah, that just did it.
I mean, that kind of anti-Catholic sentiment will get you elected president in several decades of American history.
Once again, Heisman voter Spencer Hall, anti-Catholic.
It's funny because we know we won't ever be held accountable for our words or actions.
Yeah, you know who's not answering? You know whose prayers aren't being answered by God tonight? That's right! The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Did something happen?
Yeah, they lost to Michigan. It's crazy. Got absolutely killed by them.
They should probably try harder in the Charity Bowl next year, unless they would like to lose at that as well.
That's fine. Going to see a lot of 45-23 donations. That's good.
Oh my God, there really will be.
Yeah, 45-23.
That might be the end of the show now.
I think, yeah, mm-hmm. I think we're good.
It can be.
I think we're good. Thank you for joining another successful edition of the Fullcast After Dark for Holly Anderson, Ryan Nanny, and Jason Kirk. Thanks, y'all.